From Nevada Public Radio, I'm Paul Boger. This is State of Nevada. The 2026 election cycle is already well underway. In recent months, we've seen a rash of names announce their intent to run from everything from governor to Congress to sheriff. To help us understand how this election cycle is already shaping up, we turn to Rebecca Gill. She's an associate professor of political science at UNLV. Also with us is Michael Schaus. He's a political commentator and opinion writer whose work often appears in the Nevada Independent. Rebecca, Michael, thanks for joining us.
Of course. Happy to be here.
Thanks.
Rebecca, I want to start with you. Obviously, we are a little less than 11 months away from voting, but the ads have already started. Candidates are already throwing their names into the hat. So what are you keeping your eye on this election cycle?
This is a really good question because a lot of what we're going to see this election cycle, we're not really sure about yet. So what we have to do is sort of anticipate some of the trends. I think one really interesting trend here is that we have a really big increase in nonpartisan voting here. And there are some structural reasons for this. But I think this makes it very interesting to try to get a handle on how people in Nevada are feeling by party and how these party primaries are going to turn out.
Michael, what about you?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the same thing. I think the huge increase in independent voters, some of which is because of the automatic registration at the DMV, but also a lot of people feel kind of politically homeless, so to speak, in today's weird political environment. So it's interesting because that makes it really hard for the parties to get a feel of what the general election is going to look like. They might kind of know where their base sits, but, you know, the support of your base doesn't always translate into wide, broad Democratic appeal.
You know, there's no big Senate race this year. I think that's one of the marquee things in this election. So the top of the ballot will be the governor's race. Right now, it seems to be between three people, incumbent Republican Joe Lombardo, who should have no problem making it past the primary. However, the Democrats, Attorney General Aaron Hill, Ford and Washoe County Commissioner Alexis Hill will have to duke it out. Rebecca, what are you looking at in that primary?
That primary should be pretty interesting. And what I am seeing so far, I mean, polling at this point in time is difficult, right? Because what we're seeing is that a lot of people are still unaware of who these people are, right? People are pretty clear on who Joe Lombardo is because he's the sitting governor. But I think there's going to be an interesting ramp-up period where the candidates in the Democratic primary are going to have to introduce themselves or reintroduce themselves to the statewide electorate.
Of course, Nevada's election is not happening in a vacuum, and what happens in D.C. rarely stays in D.C. So, Michael, from your perspective, what impact do you think President Trump and his agenda will have on this year's election?
Yeah, I think already people are a little tired of just the chaos that, you know, they reintroduced to the White House there. And so Republicans definitely have a liability going forward because everything from affordability issues. Yes, inflation has kind of been held steady at relatively low levels, but retail prices are still climbing. You know, there's a lot there that gives people anxiety. And when that happens, the incumbent party in Washington is blamed. And that tends to trickle down a little bit. So I think the challenge that Republicans have is kind of getting beyond that. The challenge that Democrats have is they do need to be more than just the non-Trump candidate. And so they really have to kind of flesh out their ideas for folks because I think people are, like I said, feeling a little, I don't know, politically disenchanted right now.
To that effect, we've seen Governor Lombardo do his best to walk a fine line when it comes to the president. On paper, he seems supportive of much of the president's agenda. However, it's not the deep-throated support we hear from folks like Nevada's GOP chair, Michael McDonald. Do you think the governor has done a good job of keeping Trump and his administration at arm's length, Michael?
For the most part, yeah. I think he's done pretty good at showing that he's certainly a Republican. He's certainly going to be supportive overall of Republican priorities. But he has certainly gone to lengths to say, hey, I'm still independently minded. I am not necessarily part of that Trump coalition, even if I have thrown some support his way. And I think he's done a pretty good job, and that reflects so far, I think, his job approval numbers with Nevadans, which has maintained pretty high levels throughout his tenure. So I think he's done better than some other Republicans, whether or not that still maintains as things go forward and more stories pour out of Washington. We'll see.
You know, we are still in the primary phase. We haven't even gotten to candidate signups yet, but we are in the technical primary stage. You know, do you expect any sort of primary challenge to the governor?
I would be a little bit surprised. And I am the only reason why I'm surprised is because even within the dysfunctional GOP inter-party politics, generally, if there's a popular governor or popular incumbent, they don't really want to rock the boat too much. So I would be surprised if there was a real serious challenge there. And any challenge that's going to come up probably won't have the sort of teeth that some of the more far right wing folks would actually like.
As I mentioned at the top, there's no big Senate race in Nevada this year. In previous non-presidential elections, we've seen those Senate races bring a lot of attention, a lot of money. Without those high-profile races, though, should we expect to see lower voter turnout, Rebecca?
I think that's possible. And I really think a lot of that is going to have something to do with what ends up happening in national politics. One thing, even though Nevada is very difficult to poll, because a lot of Nevadans are still undecided about, you know, kind of these more state and local races, people do have a very strong opinion about President Trump. And as his fate goes, so tends to go the fate of Republicans. And the closer we get to those elections, the more we're probably going to see, you know, the Democrats throughout, you know, from top to bottom of the ballot, attempting to tie their opponents to Trump. And so depending on how strongly people are feeling around the time of the election, even without these big marquee races, we may well see, you know, reasonably strong turnout, particularly since we have, you know, several cycles under our belt with this all-male balloting, which really increases access and makes it a lot easier for people to participate this way.
Despite the lack of a Senate race, the state's four congressional seats are once again up for grabs. Of course, control of Congress is perhaps the biggest prize in these midterm elections. At this point, Rebecca, do you see any of Nevada's representatives as appearing vulnerable?
I don't think so just yet. I mean, I think right now, you know, obviously, there is likely to be a disadvantage for Republicans across the board, across the country. A lot of that having to do with just the fundamentals of, you know, the first term of a presidency. That president's party tends to lose seats. But in our situation, we have one Republican incumbent who is in a very safe seat. So I think that would be maybe where some weakness could lie. But in this case, I think that's probably pretty doubtful.
Republicans have largely targeted CD3 in recent cycles. That's currently held by Susie Lee. The district includes much of the western half of the Las Vegas Valley and the southern tip of Clark County. Michael, why do you think it's been so hard for Republicans to flip that seat in particular?
I think it goes back to really getting a handle on what Nevadans want. I mean, we're an interesting, very kind of independent, unique purple state. And I say that with a lot of pride because look at the last couple of election cycles. Yes, Donald Trump won the vote here, but also, you know, abortion access was a key issue as well. So was voter ID. I mean, you have this really kind of weird mix of issues that appeal to both the left and the right. And so it's hard for political campaigns especially to get a feel on where exactly those purple voters are. And just given the nature of our very divisive politics right now, when you've got a party base that is very, very pro, in this case, pro-Trump in the Republican Party, sometimes they kind of lose sight of, oh, yeah, those middle voters that we're actually going to need when we get to the general.
I'm glad you mentioned abortion and voter ID because, Rebecca, there are already two questions that are going to be on the ballot, which seemed attracting two different, very different kinds of voters. Of course, you have the amendment that would make abortion a constitutional right and the other that would put voter ID requirements in the state constitution. Is there any evidence out there that shows ballot questions actually bring voters to the polls?
There has been historically. It's a little bit tricky in this particular situation, particularly with the abortion issue. And I say that only because, you know, it did pass with, you know, nearly 2/3 of the vote last time. But we already have this protection in state law, and not just in any regular state law, but it was put in using this kind of direct democracy process the last time. So it's not something that can just be overturned in one go by the legislature. And so when you have the situation where we already have these protections, but we just want to be extra sure. It's hard to get people, you know, particularly motivated to turn out for that. It's usually once there is a real, actual, palpable threat to that issue that can drive people out.
You know, one thing that we haven't talked about in this conversation is issues that are likely to arise from this election. Of course, pocketbook issues such as the economy, the rising cost of housing, medical care, those are going to be top of mind for most folks. What else do you think is going to come up during this election, Michael?
Well, I mean, I think, again, going back to national issues kind of trickling down to the state level, things like immigration are going to have to be talked about by both parties, honestly. It's one of those, certainly people expected some immigration enforcement when they elected Donald Trump, but also at the same time, the way that this enforcement is playing out certainly doesn't seem to be what a lot of people thought was actually going to happen. So I think Democrats are going to see that as an advantage and bring it up, and Republicans are going to have some answers for that on the state level. They're going to have to either express support or kind of trepidation over how it's playing out. So that's going to be one that comes up, even though it doesn't directly necessarily have to do with state politics.
Rebecca, simple yes or no question. One narrative we've seen play out in times, last few elections, is the widening gender gap. More women are voting for Republicans, more women are voting for Democrats. Is there any reason to believe that trend is going to change anytime soon?
I doubt that that trend will change. The way things are looking right now, it's very likely that we're going to see this gender gap continue.
And that is where we're going to have to leave it for now. However, I think we're going to be having a lot of these sorts of conversations over the coming months. Rebecca, Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We'll be back after a break. This is State of Nevada.